Hello, welcome to In the Pink, the podcast with me, Natalie Pinkham. Jamie Chadwick. Jamie is a racing sensation. She is making a real name for herself in the all-female lineup in the W Series, and she has recently been appointed as development driver for Williams. So she's getting invaluable experience at race weekends with them. And I managed to catch up with her at the airport coming back from the German Grand Prix. And there was a real buzz about the place because, well, it was arguably the best race of the season so far. But also, Williams had just found out that they'd scored their first points of 2019, albeit because of a penalty to both Alfa Romeo cars, but it got them off the mark, and it was great to have an impromptu chat with Jamie. We had a delay at the airport on our flight home, so we were able to sit down and have a glass of wine and a good old natter. I hope you enjoy hearing all about Jamie's life and her ambitions and how she feels being part of such an important, historic and loved team as Williams. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Chadwick.
So here we are at Frankfurt Airport, most glamorous of locations. We've got a glass of wine though, which I feel is well deserved after a long weekend at the German Grand Prix. Jamie, great to see you. How are you? Just tell us how your weekend's been.
I'm good, yeah. No, it's been a great weekend actually. I think today, well, we didn't know we had our first points at Williams, but just found out we did. So, like you said, not the most glamorous of locations at Frankfurt Airport, but there's a little bit to celebrate for Williams. And, yeah, it was a great weekend for me to be back with the team. I love every minute of this kind of stuff. So, it was really cool for me.
Can you pick up your glass and do a little toast to Williams and Robert Kubica on the first point?
There we go.
There it is.
I think we are possibly the only ones celebrating, us two. I think the team is still a bit despondent, but I mean, it's a step in the right direction, and I think they deserved it today, big time.
I mean, I think the thing is, it isn't the way in which they would want to get their first point of the season, but you could say the same about a lot of people who had a lot of the drivers who had a great race today, or like a great result at least, is that you've got to take it where you can get it in Formula One, and that was a crazy race. And everything was kind of thrown up in the air, and it's who kind of held their nerve and finished the race and saw the chequered flag reap the benefits.
Yeah, big time. I think it was one of the messiest races I think I've ever seen in Formula One. And I think with regards to Williams, a pit stop slightly differently, and we could have maybe even got points on merit. So I think it's great. Obviously, I think you've got to take these little wins where you can. And for these guys, they're working so hard. And so for them, today I think will be a bigger deal than they realise.
And actually, it's kind of reassuring in a strange way that when I spoke to George afterwards, he actually wasn't happy because he was like, no, we could and should have done more. Yeah. But he completed what was an incredibly messy race. So both cars could have been taken out at any point. They didn't. They held their nerve. And in a season that has been long and very tough on everyone at Williams, that in itself was a huge achievement.
Oh, big time. I think you're completely spot on there. I think for both drivers to finish without any issues over the whole race, I think we saw how difficult the conditions were today. So even for them in the car, even with little issues that they had and they weren't comfortable with, they still managed to keep on the island and finish the race. So I think, honestly, I've been really impressed with the way things have gone this weekend. I thought even it was quite cool for me because I normally sort of sit in the garage with a headset on, but I got to sit on the pit wall, and so I was sort of exposed to a whole new world but the engineers that I'd not experienced before. So I think from my point of view, sort of opened my eyes to how much these guys do. And actually, yeah, when you get a result like you've got today, and for them having had the tough season they've had, it does make a big difference. And yeah, hopefully the rest of the season can sort of continue in that direction.
What did you learn today?
Oh, Christ, honestly, so much. I think the main thing in Formula, well, for me anyway, racing and whatever I'm racing in, you don't get exposure to this kind of stuff. And to be honest, I don't think the drivers need to know everything, but if you put a headset on and actually listen to how Formula One teams operate, it is unbelievable. And so for me to kind of just get a glimpse of that and get an insight as to what they're going through and how it all works, it's so useful for me to be able to take that and try and put a little bit of it into place when I go back and do what I'm doing.
It's interesting because I went to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix with my husband as a guest of Red Bull, so I was completely seeing it from a very different
mode.
Yeah, it wasn't in work mode, and it was really, it was so interesting just to listen to Red Bull's team radio and just isolate them in a race, focus entirely on them and what they were doing, and it did give me such an interesting insight into the workings of a team.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think anyone kind of gets it or appreciates it nearly enough. I think when you actually, sort of, like you said, see it from a spectator's point of view, but that's fully immersed in a team, you realise it's unbelievable, honestly. They've obviously got all the guys that they've got there working at the track, but they've also got a load of people at the factory working on different things there that are sort of in communication via radio, so every now and then you're hearing different voices from all sorts of places in the world. So it's incredible. I think it's amazing what our sport is, and yeah, for me to be able to obviously get access to that's just a massive bonus.
So just reflect on us, reflect for us, if you will, on when you got asked to be part of the Williams setup and the huge honour that must have been.
Yeah, so it's all kind of happened quite quickly. I mean, I've known Claire sort of on and off for a long time. I've sort of always updated her with what I've been up to, but there'd never really been an opportunity for me at Williams. But she had always sort of kept an eye on what I was doing. And yeah, when I first decided to do the W Series, I don't think she was fully on board with the idea of it. So she came out to Hockenheim with her husband Mark. Mark and I had had conversations prior to the weekend. And yeah, after the first race, it was kind of agreed that we'd look at doing something, and yeah, a development role, academy driver style role would be available to me if I wanted to do it. And of course, for me, that was just dream come true. So yeah, it all came about quite quickly after that, and yeah, ever since it's been amazing to actually make that first step with the team. Doing a lot of simulator work at the moment, but also to come to the race weekends like this, it's really, really cool.
It's such an honour when you consider the history of Williams. Claire is such a great champion of other women, isn't she? Like, she's all about the sisterhood.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I don't think I appreciated it nearly enough until I've actually joined the team. Honestly, as a role model goes.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
She's fantastic, and really what she's doing with the team now, I think is the most impressive thing, because it's not easy for her. She's not been gifted anything on a plate. She's got to do the hard work, and for me to see that and her to even mentor me as well, it's so cool. And alongside that, I think the first race I did was Silverstone, and it was Frank's 50th anniversary. And really, when you see the history of that team, to be a part of it is just such an honour.
Now, listen, I've got my back to our departure gate, so can you keep an eye on things? It's delayed at the moment, isn't it?
I don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon, sadly.
We're snuggling.
Lots of red wine.
Very nice. Now, let's talk about you and your career, and the trajectory that you're currently on is really exciting. And, you know, I've followed your career, and you've been guests on Sky Sports many times over the years, and we've always, you know, had our eye on you, that this fresh new talent, female talent, it's very exciting for everyone. But now it really feels like it's coming to a point where you're being able to show the world just what you've got and where you deserve to be. Is that how it feels to you?
Yeah, it does. I think the last 6 months especially, I don't know, for whatever reason, right time, right place, it just feels like it's accelerated 10 times. And yeah, it's those kind of, sort of trajectories, like you're saying, you can go along your whole career sort of just making little steps, and sometimes you know what you want to achieve, but it almost seems unrealistic because you're not making the steps you want to make. Mm. And And really, I would say, yeah, in the last 6 months, that step has just been starting to happen. And suddenly you've got one hand on looking at something that was a dream, could potentially be a reality. And yeah, I'm so happy with the way things have panned out. Like I said, a lot of being in the right place at the right time. But yeah, it's great for me, and it's great for women in motorsport as well. I think the opportunities are just getting that much greater. And yeah, I feel like I'm in a good place right now with that.
Did you ever doubt that the W Series would give you that platform? Or from the off, did you know such a great calibre of people involved in it that you knew that this was something special?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because honestly, when it was first launched, I was a bit sceptical. Then I think we went to the first test and still a little bit sceptical. I was unsure as to how it would be received and what they were going to do with it. And it wasn't long after that. I think the test after that was the first assessment process, in Melk in Austria. And then I was like, no, this is going to be really cool, and this is going to be what I want to be involved with. And the standard of drivers and the standard of the people that were, you know, organising it, everyone behind the scenes, I think it obviously took a lot longer for it to be in the public eye and a lot of sceptics before that. But when it was actually launched, I think people realised that this is something that is going to be a game changer in motorsport, and I think the way they've done it's been really impressive. So yeah, I've honestly got no doubts now. It's probably the best decision I made in my career to get involved with it. And yeah, it's fantastic for, well, I think for me, but also for the other 19 female racing drivers that are on the grid.
Do you feel you've improved as a driver, and if so, how?
I do, actually. I get asked this question a lot, and a lot of people ask me how tough it is. And the reason I say that is because I think, very typical racing driver, there's always an excuse, or there's always like an escape route in pretty much everything I've raced in. With the W Series, that's not there at all, because we're all sharing engineers, we switch cars each weekend, we share data, so there's no real kind of, oh, well, he or she's in a better car than me, or they've got a better team, they've done X, Y, Z. That's all eradicated. So for me to gain an advantage and be my best on that day, I almost have to better myself that much more, and it's quite a mentally intense environment. You're all together a lot of the time. And so from that side of things and dealing with the pressure, I feel like I've had to, yeah, definitely better myself.
And is your main competitor Alice Powell, is she kind of your toughest competition?
Yeah, so Alice has come on strong. She had a couple of really unfortunate weekends, a couple of DNFs, more or less not her own fault. But yeah, my moment going into the last race is between myself and a Dutch girl called Bijtske Visser. Bijtske, another girl, had some good opportunities when she was younger, but unfortunately just didn't have the opportunity to continue racing in single-seaters. So it's BMW contracted now, but yeah, it's come back into it and it's come back in very strong. So she's keeping me honest. But yeah, we've only got one race to go, so fingers crossed.
And that's at Brands Hatch, isn't it?
It is, yeah, home race, which is nice.
That's going to be awesome. And presumably you'll have a lot of media attention, and there should be, you know, quite a good atmosphere around there.
Yeah, honestly, I cannot wait. I think I also cannot wait, but I also just want to go and do the race, because that's the main bit that I want to focus on. But yeah, I think the W Series, they put on a great show, and they've invited a lot of people down. I've got a lot of family and friends coming down as well, so yeah, hopefully I haven't jinxed it, and fingers crossed we can do what we need to do.
And then what are the next steps? Do you anticipate that you'll do this again next year, or do you hope that you'll do more work with Williams? If the phone could ring tomorrow, obviously it would be, oh, hang on, this could be our flight. Ms. Chadwick and Ms. Pinkham, stop drinking your wine and get on this flight. No, I tell you what, it's so funny when you come on back on these flights in F1, because you, I don't know how you feel, but you are surrounded by F1 people, and then you get on the flight and you probably nod off because you're absolutely knackered, it's been a long weekend, and then you get to the other end and you're bleary eyed, you're feeling rough, and it's all the F1 people again, and you're like, hello, yeah, hello, making small talk, thinking, I just want, yeah. And you just want a cold shower and get into your own bed. But I'm not to say it isn't brilliant. In a way it's lovely, because you kind of decompress and you pick apart the race together, and it's your way of kind of coming down from what has been a lot of adrenaline over the weekend.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I've not actually been on one of these kind of F1 flights. I've had it with W Series and Formula E before, where you literally get on a flight and it is the pit lane.
Yeah.
And yeah, there is not anyone that you look at and you don't recognise. And it's good actually, because these guys all have like travel kits, so I can work out who's from F1 and who's not, so I'm not just going to ignore someone that I've spent a whole weekend with. But I know exactly what you mean. I think from my point of view, my favourite thing to do after a weekend is get away from it, shut off completely, because yeah, otherwise it becomes your life and it is quite intense. But yeah, it's quite nice because everyone here in the airport gets to maybe have a beer and debrief about the weekend.
Before we got distracted by the tannoy, I was asking about next steps. So what do you think?
Yeah, so I think I honestly don't know right now. I think whatever I do, I want to make the logical step. W Series now offer super license points, which is a big, big bonus. It wasn't something I was looking at maybe doing next year, but now that does make a difference. And obviously it's free to enter, so I don't have to go out finding crazy amounts of sponsorship, because that I can focus on what I need to with the W Series. And yeah, in terms of the support I have with Williams, that's hopefully ongoing and something that I really, really do relish. And then obviously I've got a relationship with Aston Martin as well, so that's another bonus that I want to sort of continue to exploit and relish next year.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, I can't see why anyone wouldn't want you. Honestly, you're fast, you're female, you're great with everybody, your feet are very much firmly on the ground. Don't go changing, by the way. For now, I know, yeah.
This is the wrong glass of red wine.
Diva! Yeah.
Why is my flight delayed? Where is my private jet?
Oh, listen, I've seen many a petulant little moment in an airport, but that's normally from people in our team. No, I'm only joking. Okay, take us back. Give us some context as to why you are where you are today. When did you first realise and want to go into racing? When did you realise you had a talent for it, for example?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think, you know as well as I do, in our world, motorsport's quite often, it's a bit of an insular sport, and it's one you only really fall into if, I don't know, your parents were into it before or take you go-karting or whatever. And for me, it was very different. My parents weren't involved in the sport at all. It was my older brother that went go-karting for the first time, that kind of brought it back to the family for the first time, and next thing you know, a bit of sibling rivalry, and I wanted to go. And I was 12 years old, so relatively old in motorsport terms.
You'd be signing for Toro Rosso as well.
Exactly, what was I doing? So 12 years old, and I loved it for the first time. I had quite a different sporting background, so I was always into sports, but motorsport quite quickly turned my head. And yeah, I think it was all very natural from there. Like, my parents didn't ever force me to do it. If anything, they're probably like, what are you doing, can we stop this, it's madness. For my whole sort of career, it's just I did what the opportunities sort of presented to me, and yeah, I kind of just hopped my way through. There was no clear pathway, there was no realistic route to F1. I remember I saw Louise Goodman the other day, and I did some media training with her when I was doing Jeddah Juniors, and I was 14, And apparently my dad took me in, and my dad said, this will never be a career for them, about my brother and I, but just, you know, it's good training. And so now, obviously, I remind him of that, because at the time, like, we never thought it was going to be a career. We never thought it was going to be anything beyond just a hobby. So, yeah. But now, me to be able to turn something I just love doing and enjoyed into a profession is, yeah, I can't complain at all.
And what about your brother? What does he do now?
So, yeah, he doesn't race anymore. I'm flying the flag for the Chadwicks now. Yeah, he's gone into business separately. But, yeah, for me, it's something that I've always tried to pursue, and fortunately I've had a lot of opportunities that have allowed me to do that.
And hopefully he's drumming up a bit of sponsorship for you whilst we speak. What does he make of what you're doing with your life?
He's very supportive. I mean, he raced until maybe 2-3 years ago, so he's fairly current. He knows. It's nice, actually, because my parents, as lovely as they are, they don't always get it, and it is a world that is confusing. And I think when I've had a good race or a bad race, you know, my mum's my biggest fan, and doesn't matter what I've done. If I've come last, I've done a good job, which is the most annoying thing for me. And my dad doesn't get it, but tries to. And so when I've got my brother there that I can actually just pick up the phone to and have a proper debrief with, it does make a big difference.
That's called parental unconditional love. As a mum, you don't care what your child has done. You adore them. But it's so funny because I obviously feel the same about my kids. And I remember growing up with my mum, and whatever I'd done, she'd be so immensely proud. But come on, Mum, you know, be a bit more critical.
Yeah,
but they
know.
Can't, they can't. It's not in a mum's DNA.
You think that's a nice thing, but as any sports person, you're like, no, I've not done a good job today. Stop telling me I have.
So. You need your mother's unconditional love. That's your roots and wings in life. So when did you start realising, actually, I'm pretty bloody good at this, and if I make the right decisions, I can start building a career?
Honestly, like, not until maybe I was 16. So not early days. Early days, it was just, I did it, I loved it, and it was great. I didn't think that was going to be what I was going to do for a living. It was never realistic, if that makes sense. I was always kind of racing in sports cars, and, yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I could be a factory driver for a sports car team, but something like Formula One was never on the table. And when I was 16, I was racing with Aston Martin, and then it was like, actually, this could maybe turn into something a bit more. And then it wasn't until when I was 18 that I first, or 17, 18, that I first started in single seaters. So really quite late in terms of when I realised that this could actually be a future for me.
What do you think your parents wanted or thought you would do?
Honestly, I don't know. This is why I am really lucky. My parents never forced me into doing anything. If I wanted to do something, they would have supported me regardless. I think they always knew that I love sport, and I was going to probably try to make it in some sport. I think when I was younger, I did want to be a skier, and they're like, well, we can't ship you out to Switzerland for half the year. So, but they would have like done their best to support whatever I wanted to have done. So, I'm really, really lucky in that sense. They probably wish that I was maybe like a lawyer and making loads of money and funding their retirement. But
you will be, don't you worry about that. What else are you good at? Like, are you brainy? Would you like potentially a career in law when you're much, much older?
No, to be honest. No, I would love to say yes. I really enjoyed school, actually, for all the wrong reasons.
But what did you enjoy about school? The naughty stuff?
I just hung out with my friends, basically, and then went racing at the weekends, right. So it was quite fun.
So you didn't really enjoy school, you enjoyed your mates and racing.
And then I played sport, and it was just fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in terms of, like, academics, like, I got through school quite, like, without any issues, but I never really had the work ethic to really go far in terms of, yeah, being a lawyer or anything like that. I was always the one that was trying to play sport or do something different, and, yeah, I think I always had a knack with sport, but I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't a racing driver. It's a bit of a scary question, actually.
Now, I remember, well, you don't have to think about that at the moment, you know, the future's looking pretty bright. I remember you talking to me a year or two ago about Lando Norris and the fact that, you know, similar age and that you were a similar ability, a similar talent, which I think, okay, look, you're being modest now, but you were getting similar times to him. But you weren't getting the similar amount of track time. Now that you're doing W Series, do you feel like you are clocking up sufficient amount of laps to get the experience that Lando has?
Yeah, and I think that's the bit that people don't see with our sport, and I'm claiming victim with this, but actually there are so many examples of people that are in a far worse situation than me where...
Sorry to interrupt, that is a dog that you can hear
also,
at the airport, which is kind of weird.
Does listen to this podcast, I really want answers as to why dogs are allowed on aeroplanes, and if that is allowed, then I'm taking my dog with me everywhere.
Okay, well, can I tell you that I went to Mexico at the beginning of last year for a shoot, and there was a dog on the flight next to me, and it was because the lady, his owner, had epilepsy, and the dog has an uncanny ability to detect when a fit is about to happen, because
that
I was as a massive dog lover,
that is amazing,
and I support guide dogs for the blind, and I'm just crazy about dogs, this just blew me away that this dog was able, had a sixth sense and was able to warn the staff on the plane that his owner might have a fit.
Done. I'm sold on that. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Isn't it?
I just love that. That's why dogs are the best. You just
they
can't
really
go
are.
Wrong.
I mean, that's just.
I don't think that dog just sounds a bit yappy, to be fair. I don't think that one's detecting any epilepsy.
No, our dog didn't bark at all on the flight. In fact, it even wore a nappy in case it needed a poo on the flight.
I was going to say, it had a nappy. What could go wrong having a dog on a flight? I think there is a good reason why they're not normally allowed.
Yeah.
But it's even when, like, if you ever see dogs on the tube, like, everyone's so miserable on the tube, but then you see a dog and it just makes your day.
What were we talking about before?
Sorry, I've just taken you completely off on a tangent. We were talking about Lando Norris track time.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I mean, there are people that are in a far worse situation than me, but genuinely, so I race against Lando and Ginetta Juniors, and for the first half of the year, I beat him more or less, and then second half of the year, after arguably more seat time, he came on a lot stronger, and I think I've kind of gone through my career just doing what I thought was, from not coming from maybe a racing background, not well managed, a season in F3, and I was like, well, how come I can't compete with XYZ? And actually it's because I've done however many days less, and or not the only reason, but it was a contributing factor.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This was the first year where my manager actually said to me, he's like, put the odds in your favour, let's go to a winter championship, let's go take you out to Middle East in December, January, February, and do a load of racing in the winter, let's go do whatever you're going to do next year, and we'll put the odds in my favour for 1 year. And we went out, did that winter championship, we won out there, and then I went into W Series so much better prepared than I've ever been prepared for anything, and it's already made such a difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like you're saying, where the W Series will make a difference, because you're getting that more or extra track time now. Everyone's on an equal in the series, and it's fantastic.
What do you feel when you see Lando? And he is having a great season. Okay, the German Grand Prix is one to forget for him, but he's done incredibly well, hasn't he? How do you feel when you see him excelling in that way? You're a bit jealous, or do you feel kind of motivated because you can see that he's going places and it means you can too?
Motivated, definitely. When I see it, I realise that, you know, it is achievable. He's not come from, you know, he is a supersizer and an incredible good job, incredibly good job this year. Here we go. Might have. Oh, they keep calling people, but just not us. Never mind. Anyway, he's done an incredibly good job, and no denying that. But yeah, like you said, I think, from my point of view, you've got the young guys coming up through. You've got George, Alex, Lando, and it shows how strong junior motorsport is at the moment. So I know if I can can perform in F3, F2, whatever it is, I can perform in F1.
Yeah.
And that's a really nice, reassuring thing to know.
Yeah. I've said it so many times, but I really love this young generation of drivers. Lando is just fantastic. Alex, George, they're an absolute pleasure to interview. They all have a laugh together. It's almost like they go, you know what? We are living the dream, and they're grateful for that. I really hope none of them change, because they're just lovely young men who are funny, they get on very well together, and they're making the most of it. They're all performing really well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there is something to be said about both of that. I think you can get to Formula One, and obviously I've not got to that point, but it's an intense environment, and you can change yourself and sort of worsen yourself because of the pressure and the intense environment that you're in, whereas those three seem to have taken it all in their stride. And even George, like, it's been so impressive following him around at Williams, because he's stepped up, obviously he's stepped up to the job that he's got at Williams, but he's also not changed, and I think that's the main thing, and that's why he's not obviously the Williams isn't maybe giving him the best results, but he's still managing to outperform his much more experienced teammate.
Listen, Jamie, it's so lovely to see you. Your red wine is looking rather low. Might go and buy you another one. Oh, no. You are an athlete, a professional and an athlete. I'm going to go and get you one of those green shakes. Thank you for your time. And listen, we're all going to be watching your progress with huge interest and lots of love and support going forward.
No, thank you. It's been nice to catch up. You filled my time very nicely here at Frankfurt Airport, so it's perfect.
Who knew Frankfurt could be so much fun? Thanks, Jamie.
No worries.
So, what did you think of Jamie? I mean, I loved having a really impromptu chat because they're often the best ones, just to hear people at their rawest and no rehearsals and no editing, just them chatting. And I think Jamie is brilliant at it. You know, she's a natural. I've known her for some time. She's come in on loads of Sky Sports shows to talk about her ambitions in racing, and it's just so fantastic to see them finally materialising, and her career really looks on to be set on a very positive, powerful and upward trajectory. So good luck to Jamie. Let us know what you think. Let us know who you'd like to hear from. Rate, review, subscribe, and thank you for listening to In the Pink. It's been great to have your company.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.